Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Walter Reese. Walter is the Director of Student Development and Special Education at University Prep School in Detroit, Michigan. Walter, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit more about you and your role and a little bit more about University Prep.
So, yes, thank you. I appreciate the intro. Walter Reese, I'm the Director of Student Development with UPrep Schools here in Detroit, Michigan. Love the work that I do to advocate for kids. My goal is to support and help parents so that they can better advocate for their kids. And our team does an amazing job getting that information in front of our parents and just making sure that students are receiving the quality support that our diverse learners, especially the quality support that they need so that they can be on a level playing field when it comes to their education.
So how many students in special education do you guys have right now?
We have now across our 9 schools, a little over 550 students who are diverse learners. That's either have an IEP, they have services through an IEP, or they qualify for a 504 plan.
504. Awesome. That's great. So tell me a little bit about your background. You have an interesting background. I'd love for people to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. Thank you. I had this great dream in college. I went to Tennessee State University, my bachelor's. I majored in biology and minored in chemistry. Had this wonderful dream of going to med school, and life threw me a curveball and stuck with it. So I had an opportunity not only to play football in college. I had a 4-year scholarship, and when I finished playing football at Tennessee State, I was able to go over to Germany and I played American football in their professional football, American Football League in the GFL in Hamburg, Germany. And I loved it. You know, it was so many moons ago now, but that offered me an opportunity to rethink and consider some things that were in the works for me before I left America to go to Germany to play ball. I was in Dayton, Ohio, and I had an opportunity to go back to Dayton to be a long-term sub, and I've been in education since. I loved the journey. The journey took me from Dayton, Ohio to Detroit, Michigan, and I joined Mary Grove College, which is a private school. It used to be a private school that offered educational opportunities and now is a charter school. But when Mary Grove College was acting as a university. I was able to be a part of a program, a GRIO program for Black males who were interested in securing a master's in education and teaching certification. And that was back in 2003, and I'm here now, and I've had great opportunities from teaching in classrooms to being a dean of students, student support coordinator, assistant principal, principal, a lot of different roles leading up to my current role here now. This is an amazing role, and I definitely am grateful for this opportunity to support our students and advocate for our students.
So how long have you been the director of student development there?
I hit a year actually in January 2025.
Congratulations. So everything's kind of accumulated to this point, right? That's fantastic. I love that. And I love your passion for the kids. You know, that's our passion too. You know, just is everything we do as educators is to make life better for those kids.
Right.
And that's it. That's just it. It's such a calling. It's such a blessing to be able to do what we do. So what would you say is one of your biggest challenges? You know, it can't be an easy role out keeping track of and managing 550 kids.
It is not an easy role. I'm grateful for it. One of the biggest challenges, I would say, during the interviews, so of course I, you know, came into the role. And so there were people that were in roles and then people that we were able to hire. People mm-hmm. that we were able to hire have a chance to hear this statement that I share with them during the interview process. And I love sharing it and love hearing answers and love providing additional context to why I asked the question in the first place and or make the statement. So I have people respond to the statement. We make decisions based on what's best for kids. I make that statement and ask the person to respond to that statement because I want to hear, where's your heart? Is your heart in doing what's best for kids, or is your heart in doing what's best for the adults? Because things, you know, make things easier, because special education is hard work.
And it's
education
hard work.
In general is hard work. Special education is a different kind of work, I'll say. Maybe not harder than general education teaching, but it's a different kind of work. And you got to have your heart in it to be the advocate for the students, because they don't have that in the schools, in all schools, in all situations, especially when they're making poor choices, or especially when their disability is getting in the way and they don't know how to respond. They're dysregulated, and not knowing how to respond can be the most frustrating thing for a child, because they're always getting disciplined punitively.
Right. And they're getting in trouble when that's not what they need. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's the hard, I think that the hardest thing is trying to help bring people around the decisions that students are making, or whatever it is that was the antecedent that got them to where they are with the behaviors. It's not all on the student, because they don't know how to regulate their own emotions and behaviors. We have to help them as adults.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. One of the best things that I think has come out of education in the last 10 years has been that right there. Knowing that, you know, kids aren't bad. Kids aren't bad. No kid wants to be bad. You know, they are responding to their environment. They are responding to the lack of safety that they feel, or the frustration, or just not being able to communicate, or whatever it is. And if we can help tease out what's causing that behavior, and BCBA has done a lot, the ABA therapy, and kudos to those people, because they've figured it out before any of us and have helped train us, right? And it's just, it's so important that people understand that this is not a bad kid. There's no bad kids out there. It's just kids that are reacting to bad situations and whatever it is that's happening in their life or in their brain, you know. It's just, so I love that. I love that. And that's certainly, I think I would have passed your question.
Absolutely. Actually, one of the other things that I definitely try to remind principals, all admin and teachers, when they're in conversations about students or about student behavior and whatnot, is exactly what you shared. They're not bad. They are a product of the environment and mm-hmm. or not having seen modeled how to actually regulate their behaviors or exercises or activities or resources that can help them. And so we have to create the conditions that are going to allow a student to feel comfortable enough to say, you know what, I was wrong, and this is how I'm going to fix whatever it is that I did, and or these are the activities or exercises that I'm going to use to try to adjust or self-correct my behavior so that it doesn't continue to get me in trouble. And if they have that restorative and affirming feedback when they do things like that, then those behaviors will be fewer and fewer.
Right. Because now they really, you know, it's like the negative behaviors at least gets me attention, right? Yeah.
That's right.
So,
that's
and right. now I'm discovering that I don't have to be bad to get the attention. That is so powerful. That's communication. I'm
that's,
just,
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm a speech therapist. I can't, you know, it's just,
and they're not always getting it at home. That's not the point of finger, but it's just saying some parents are doing the best that they can parenting to mm-hmm. you know, parent their child, but they don't have, it's not like a silver bullet or a book that's going to tell them exactly what to do, because every child is individual. I didn't share earlier, but I grew up with 12 siblings. And so at different times of my life, our mother, you could see how our mother and father, not raised us differently, but they poured into us differently. Everybody needed something different. We didn't get the same thing. And in one, you know, at one time, there could be between five and seven of us living in the house, living in our home in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Not all the 13 of us together, but as I was growing up, because of where I am,
you got the end
line, the fifth oldest, I was able to see how they raised and poured into us differently, which was awesome.
Wow. Wow. Kudos to them. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids. Yeah. It prepared you. I can see where it has prepared you for what you're doing now, which is fantastic. And the fact that they recognized that, kudos to them too, because boy, that's amazing. That's a great thing. Just to see, I was only one of four. I was a baby and I was spoiled rotten. I remember them all of a sudden, my parents looked at me and went, "What have we done?" And I remember it as a little girl going, "Wait a minute, temper tantrums and screaming doesn't get me my way anymore." You know, and it's that same kind of thing that we're talking about, that these kids need to realize, wow, this isn't gonna, I need positive. I need to give, you know, just amazing. Good stuff. Such good stuff. And, you know, I love it. I absolutely love it. So what advice would you give to a new educator heading into their first leadership position? You have had so many amazing positions. How, what would you say to somebody who's like, I've just landed my first principal position and I'm a teacher. How do I do this? What would you say to them?
That's a great question. I know the first thing that I would say to them is be visible. Mm-hmm. Walk the halls, be visible, show that you're there because of the students that are in there and the staff as well. Not stay locked up in your office. Before it was a thing that administrators started moving to a cart and going throughout the building and working from a cart, that was a thing for me. I'd love to go to, when I was in K-5 or K-8 space, I'd go to the kindergarten classrooms. That's where the joy, for me, that's where I got my joy, is mm-hmm. going to kindergarten classrooms. If there was something going on that had my day overwhelmed, I would go to those kindergarten classrooms and see the love and the joy that those kids had on their faces when they're learning and the light bulbs popping on. And then I'd go to the other classrooms and check out, see how things are going. But the new administrators and new leaders, definitely be visible. Get connected, not only with to make sure that the secretaries and the janitors are well taken care of and cared about and seen and feeling like they are more than just those roles or those positions, but also get into those resource rooms. Talk to your special ed department, your intervention department, and find out what's going on with those kiddos who are popping up and showing up either from the previous year or current year with behaviors or things that are getting in the way of them being the best that they can be. Because those conversations are going to help when you have to make difficult decisions about behaviors that students are exhibiting. You have that context and you'll be able to speak to it a little bit more. And the kids will see you as well. And so that respect level and the relationship grows and some of those behaviors sort of dissipate because they don't want to disappoint you as the principal or as the leader, because you've made a concerted effort to get to know who they are and understand what they are bringing to the school, what baggage they have that they're bringing to the school with them on a daily basis.
I'm always impressed by I think that you guys have an amazing memory. I'm terrible with names and I have been so impressed with teachers. I don't know how you do it. I have 55 kids. I remember all their names, but you know, when you have 500 kids and I was always impressed when a principal would say, "So Janet, how's your day going?" Knowing their name, just knowing their name is so powerful.
And nowadays, not knowing their name, but then also knowing how they like, what handshake or what kind of thing they like, what cartoons or what games they're playing, something about them outside of school, if they're involved in any extracurricular activities or they see you at the store, like those things mm-hmm. matter and those things kids hold on to.
Yeah. When you run into the kids at the store, it's so funny, especially the little ones. It's like, you go outside of the school? You have a life outside of school? Really? They only see you there. So it's like, that's the box that you're in. You don't get another box.
That's right.
Love it. I love it so much. That is so great. Okay. So the flip side of that, how do you keep yourself and your staff from burnout? It's a hard job. So what do you do?
It's a great question. talking about it, like having conversations about, you know, how you're doing, what do you need, how can I support, what things do you need taken off your plate? I think those things are important, and we have those conversations. I also think, you know, something that I learned from a superintendent a couple years back, actually, is just to have the conversations about personal days and like scheduling them. I think, you know, that's something that leaders should take heed to, is like scheduling, having staff schedule those personal days. So it's not like a last minute thing.
Right.
So I know I have 4 personal days to use, or 5 or 6, whatever the
what
number
it is. Yeah.
I'm going to schedule that time during the times where there is a lull, because there's no break. So if there's a month where there are no vacations or breaks in the school calendar, I'm going to work with my leader to, or I'm going to work with my teacher as a leader to, and teachers to encourage them to take personal time for themselves so that their mental health is ready for the work that they're going to be doing. And if, you know, we have a conversation, right, you know, tomorrow, and a teacher is just not doing well, hey, you might need to just take the day tomorrow. So those conversations happen. I was in a text message earlier today with one of our student development team crew members, and someone unfortunately passed away in their family, and they were asking questions. And one of the things that I share with them is just, hey, when you get the information, let's talk so that you can take the time that you need. Another one a couple weeks ago, was a family member passed, and grief is not linear.
No, it is not, is it?
The conversation that we had was, hey, take the time that you need now and just know that if there's additional time that you need at a later date, because, you know, you feel that grief coming back on, let's talk about that so that you can take the time that you need so that you can grieve. And I think that that helps people understand that, and made to feel like they matter, not just a number and not just there because, you know, it's seen, or they feel like it's business or business as usual, or we have a transactional relationship. I think that's the most important thing is to make sure that the relationships don't feel transactional.
They're seen and they're heard. Yeah. They're seen and they're heard. And that mental health piece is so critical. I mean, I started my own business and I'm a bit of a workaholic. You know, I had 7 years of doing this. God called me to it, and I don't see it as work. So for me, it's not work. You know, it's my mission, and I love what I do and all of those things, but you still have to be able to turn it off.
Absolutely.
And yeah, my husband and I, cause we're a family business, and he's my CTO, and he loves to tease me. God, I got the worst boss in the world. You know, he teases me all that's relentlessly. But we've been together for 30 years, and he still loves me, and I still love him. So we're doing okay.
That's awesome.
But we took our anniversary. Our anniversary was the 22nd, and we took the day. Yeah. And I worked on the way down. He was driving. We live in Padre, and we went to South Padre because he'd never been there. And so we just took a day trip, drove down, and I worked in the car on the way down because I could. He was driving, and we were talking, and you know. But then, as soon as we got to our destination, no more.
Off.
And turned it off for the rest of the day. And my staff, you know, they want me to do that. They want me to take that time off because they know it's important, because I always am encouraged. Same thing as what you were talking about. Go. If something's happening, go. My director of finance, I think she would be fine. Her mom broke her shoulder, and she's having to take a lot of time helping her. She's got a lot of care right now. I'm like, family first. Family.
Right.
You got to take care of your family first.
That's
because
right.
Nobody, I tell my staff this all the time. And you know, we talk about the day we're born. It's a date, right? And the day that we die, it's a date. And that dash in between is your life. And nobody in that dash is, gee, I wish I'd worked more.
Right. Right.
So you got to take that time. You got to take that time. Yes, I love what I do, but I also, for my own sanity, need to reconnect with my husband, because we talk about work all the time, right?
Right.
And I'm sure you do the same thing. It's like, it's so much of what you do, but you have to take a break. You just have to. For sure.
Great. Not only for yourself, but for your family.
Yeah. And for the kids. And for those kids, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we do a better job.
That's right.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I have one other question, and I ask this question to every single podcast guest. I think I missed once, but and so I'm going to ask you the question, and you can take your minute and whatever. But I just, it's a pretty good question, I think. If you could miraculously And I say miraculously. People like to say magic wand. I say miraculously because I'm a Christian. I believe that God can do what God's going to do. But if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve? Just one challenge. It's a tough one, I know.
It is. That's a great question. The challenge that I would want to solve involves just how the struggle and gap that exists right now for our students in grades K-3 right now. Those third and
our
fourth
pandemic grade, babies.
That's right.
Our pandemic babies.
That's right. Fourth and fifth, they are part of that as well. But if I could resolve or solve the problem right now, it would be that gap, that educational gap that exists right now for our kinder, first, second, and third students, where they struggle because they are hooked, and we have to find a way to unhook them from these screens. Like it is all they know. They're almost addicted to screens, whether it's cell phones, tablets, computers, whatever it is. And our kids, our third and fourth graders, but our third graders are writing the way that they would text. That's becoming a real issue because that's what they grew up doing. These kids are picking up these tablets and these phones as 3 and 4 year olds and are able to do things with them that adults struggle with. And so that would be the thing that the challenge that I would go after is that gap, academic gap that exists right now for our K-3 kids as a result of being our pandemic babies, but not, it doesn't mean that the pandemic is the blame. It just, there's a lot of work to do. And I think people are missing that because now they feel like we're so far removed from the pandemic and it's not an issue. And it is.
Still. Well, there's so many ripples, so many ripples that have, and that's a great one. That's a great answer, by the way.
Thank you.
I get it. I totally get it. And it's, I just pray for those kids, during the pandemic, one of the things that I used to pray all the time was, Lord, there's kids that are getting lost. They're getting lost. Let's lift them up, because school was the safe place, as a therapist and as somebody that has worked in multiple diverse, you name it, there's safe homes and there's not safe homes. And when those kids went in, when they're home all the time and maybe the only meal they got was at school. And I know schools did a great job during the pandemic of feeding kids. They did. I know there was lots of school lunches that were sent out and all of those things. But I just, it broke my heart for those kids I'm not blaming parents. Parents had to survive as well. I mean, they had to figure out how they didn't have a babysitter anymore because the school's closed, So what do I do with my child now? And I still have to work. And if I can't work, I don't pay the bills. And then we really don't eat, So it was awful. It was an awful time and awful time in our country. And I'm, and that was my heart during that time was just those kids that are just, you knew that there was, but I also believe that God's there and that he will do what he's going to do. He's on his throne. So I prayed. It's the best thing that, we always say, well, at least I can pray. No, that's the first thing we should be doing. It's the first thing. Pray first.
Yes.
Right. So, yeah. So anyway. Okay. Well, like I told you, I'm like, God's in it. He's in the middle of it. And I don't shy away from him because he's there for us. So
grateful. You're 100% correct. 100% right.
Okay. Well, Walter, great conversation. Such a great conversation. Thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed hearing about you and your school. Where should people go if they want to learn more about you or about the school?
I'd love to thank you for the time and thank you for the questions and the conversation. To learn more about me and or our network of schools, just go to uprepschools.com. We would love to share more with you, love to hear how we can support your student. We are the heart of what we do is to make sure our students become great adults and they have opportunities following their time with UPenn schools.
Awesome. Great. Thank you again so much, Walter. God bless you. God bless what you're doing with those kids. It's a labor of love, I know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much. You take care and God bless you as well.
Mm-hmm.